Mitt Romney celebrating his third victory in the GOP primaries. I don't know if that makes up for the Patriots' loss for that Massachusetts boy. But first he had New Hampshire, then Florida, and now Nevada. And February actually promises to be a pretty good month for the former governor. But he likely will end it with the same number of opponents that he began it, or close to it anyway. We're joined now by Anna Sale, reporter for our co-producer WNYC's politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And this time we actually have you in New York. Normally
I'm here.
Racking up frequent flyer miles. So Romney victorious in Nevada. Finally, it looks as though the results match his talk that he himself has always seen himself as the front runner.
That's right. And let's talk about the month to come, because I think that's why we might start the month with four candidates and end the month with four candidates. Tomorrow we have Minnesota, Colorado caucuses. In Maine, there are local caucuses happening all this week. We'll get those results on Saturday. And tomorrow there's what's called a non-binding primary in Missouri. People are going to come out and vote, but because no delegates are at stake, others have called it a beauty contest. So Mitt Romney, it's looking to be a relatively safe month for him. Rick Santorum is doing well in Minnesota. In some polls, he's actually leading there and coming in second in Colorado. Newt Gingrich is saying, I'm going to run through, but I'm going to focus on the South. I'm just going to get through this month. So February looks to be a safe month for Romney after his 25-point win in Nevada.
He kept to his strategy
of focusing on President Barack Obama.
3 years ago, a newly elected President Obama told America that if Congress approved his plan to borrow nearly $1 trillion, he would hold unemployment below 8%. It hasn't been below 8% since. This week, he's been trying to take a bow for 8.3% unemployment. Not so fast, Mr. President.
I have to say here that's not what he's just said is not. That's been rated by fact-checking organizations as mostly false.
Well, I think it's also important to note, sure, unemployment is not below 8%, but Barack Obama's his approval ratings are going up in the polls.
Yeah.
He's back at 50% in a Washington Post poll out today. And some of those folks were polled before the unemployment numbers came out on Friday that showed the unemployment levels going down.
Okay, but let's look ahead, because as you said, Mitt Romney is expected to win a number of more states this month. And yet, there's no sign that the other three are going to drop out. Let's take a listen here to Newt Gingrich after he lost in Nevada.
Our commitment is to seek to find a series of victories which, by the end of the Texas primary, will leave us about at parity with Governor Romney, and from that point forward to see if we can't actually win the nomination.
So why do we think Newt Gingrich will stay in the race?
Well, you heard it there. He's seeking to find a way to get victories. He's not ready to drop out. It's not clear how he's going to get parity with Governor Mitt Romney. But he's focusing on the South. Super Tuesday, there's a primary in Georgia, Newt Gingrich's home state, so he's looking to that. There's also another southern state, Virginia, where Newt Gingrich is not on the ballot. But he mentioned Texas there, and Texas so far is set to vote April 3rd. That could get moved because of ongoing redistricting court battles.
Yeah.
It could get delayed. That's not clear. But he's definitely saying, I'm pursuing in some ways a southern strategy, trying to replicate what he did in the South Carolina primary.
And as you said, Rick Santorum polling quite well in Minnesota, which could keep him in the race if he gets that win there in Minnesota. And Ron Paul, everyone assumes he'll stay in because he has the money to do it.
Exactly. And he's got an organization. And, you know, caucuses are when you've got organization, you do well in caucuses. So there's no reason for him to drop out now.
But let's talk about Mitt Romney as a candidate. I think everyone pretty much assumes that eventually Mitt Romney will come out on top. So let's talk about him in a general election. Mormons were a quarter of the electorate in Nevada that had to have led to his victory there. More than 90% of them voted for him. And yet, his campaign organization is downplaying the importance of the Mormon vote, not just in Nevada, but in other states as well. Is he trying to both gain the Mormon vote and kind of ignore it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, when a quarter of the folks who turned out in Nevada are Mormon, that's absolutely and voted for Mitt Romney, most of them, more than 90%. That's something the Romney campaign obviously welcomes. But it's not something they want to allow other people to dismiss his victory in Nevada. His campaign sent out talking points that said, even if no Mormons voted, we still would have won this thing in Nevada. And we won again among Catholics and Protestants. So it wasn't just the Mormon vote that helped Mitt Romney win in Nevada, which is true. And he also won among voters who self-identified as very conservative in Nevada, which is a group he lost in Florida. These are all things that the Romney campaign wanted to point out. But I think it gets to how the campaign is trying to sort of you know, take advantage of the Mormon organization, the Mormon vote, but they don't want to linger on it. And that's something that I think we've talked about as if it's something as Mitt Romney's personality. But I was at a Mormon conference over the weekend at Columbia University, and there was a lot of talk about Mormonism in American politics, and it's throughout the Mormon community, this ambivalence about how much do we want to really talk about our Mormonness in this sort of mainstream American political conversation.
And here's a comment from Darren Jackson, who's a law student, a Mormon law student at Columbia.
There's this contrast between Mormons' inherent desire to be mainstream, but also our love of being peculiar. You know, so we both are hesitant when Mitt Romney gets questioned about his faith because we don't want him judged by that, but we also love the fact that everyone's talking about us. You know, most Mormons won't go to see the Book of Mormon musical, but we love the fact that there is one, you know?
That's got to be one of the best comments ever. But I got to ask you about the turnout in Nevada. I saw the final results, which actually didn't get tallied until after the Super Bowl game. And Romney won Nevada with 16,486 votes, which is exactly 50%. In 2008, he won with 22,646 votes, which was more than 51%. Is this again evidence of an enthusiasm problem?
I think you could perhaps. I mean, it's difficult to tell with these caucuses because, you know, people don't turn out for these caucuses. In the main caucus in 2008, 5,500 people participated. So we're making a big deal out of this because it says something about momentum. It says something about organization and how these candidates do in these various caucuses. But a lot of people aren't participating in these votes in February. So that's certainly something to take into account. And I think when you do look at turnout, the Nevada turnout is interesting. You know, why could Mitt Romney not bring more people out? Because if the Republican base is that sort of enthusiastic about getting President Barack Obama out of the White House, why aren't those folks turning out?
You'd think it would be higher.
But, you know, it's still early. There's a lot of time for folks to get excited about a general election. So making those connections is, you know, that we have some indicators, but we certainly don't have any conclusions.
Anna Sale, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC's politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Luckily, have her in studio in New York, Anna Sale. And then you're off to what state next?
Oh, we're looking ahead to Super Tuesday at this point.
There you go. Thanks so much, Anna.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.